Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to all you guys. because family is very important. When I think about everything that Dan's been preaching over the last little bit about building the church, I think about children. I think about our generations to come. Right, Keith? This is not just about us, bro. I mean, I'm going to read you something that will tell you the story of why we do what we do. But make no mistake about it, it is for the generations to come. That's why we do these things. Because God did what he did for family, bro. That he was not going to be alone. And when you come into a resurrection, Tim, the entire point, the intent, the purpose is to build that church, to have a family, bro, to bring forth children of God, sons of God. So I just think that is really awesome, and I'm very excited about that. In fact, let's get right into it. First John, you got it, Nick? First John, verse 1. Really, what I want to kind of focus in here is on the life. The life of God. And what does that mean? What's it mean to partake of the life of God? We're going to talk a little bit about that. So John speaking here, the Apostle John, that which was from the beginning. And that life is what we're going to talk about, has always been from that beginning. That's where God has to bring you to make you a partaker of this life, okay? Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So this word that we have received over the last many years, what kind of word is it? It's a word of life. What's the purpose? What's the intent of that word? To bring you into life. You guys can talk back to me. It's okay. It's all right. You can talk back a little bit. Keep going. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, let me ask you guys a simple question. Is he talking about when Jesus appeared as a man unto them in the earth? Or is he talking about something else? I gave the answer, right? It was from the beginning. So which person is John referencing here? Who is he talking about? What manifestation? The heavenly man. That was really simple, guys. So he's not referring here to Jesus the man that came to them and called them out of the fishing boats. Sure, that was a manifestation. Make no mistake about it. And the Lord, he came to them and said, come follow me, I'll make you men. But in the process of time here, as they came into the Holy Ghost, what was made manifested to them? What did they get to partake of, Tim? They saw the eternal one. The Son of God from heaven in all of his glory. And that's what John is telling you. We've seen the word of life. We walked with him in the time of the earth when he was with us. But Jesus said what? I am with you, but I shall be in you. He breathed on them and said what? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. When you see Peter in the book of Acts chapter 2. It says somewhere down in the mid of chapter 2, and Peter stood up with the 11. What was going on there, Keith? Was he partaking of a resurrection? Everything you see from Peter through all of the Gospels, it was kind of down 1 minute, maybe. He's ready to go. He's got the revelation of Jesus Christ. Even the Lord said, this revelation you've received of me being the Christ, it came from the Father. So the life of God was already being made known to him. But here's the catch. He continued to stumble and struggle and have his up and downs. What changed that? What is it that finally happened with Peter that put him on the path to coming to this revelation right here? The infilling of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And those 11 that stood up with him, where were they? Were they not in Peter? As well as the 120, were they not all in Peter? Was Peter being used as the example of what takes place when a disciple becomes an apostle full of the Holy Ghost? And now, this message that Dan preached a few weeks back about they continued steadfastly, why did that have to happen? Why did that have to take place? Because all of those in Peter that were raised from the dead and were partakers of the Holy Ghost, what had to happen? Did they have to be discipled? Did they have to be taught? Did they have to continue in the thing that was working in Peter? Was God making Peter now a partaker of this word of life? In other words, was he becoming the word of life? He was becoming a Christ. This was part of his becoming. John here is sharing his revelation of this as well. It's one thing to walk with him, but to have him in you and to become who he is, whole different story, guys. Why you say? Why do you think I say that? Because, Julie, it changes everything about you, and it causes what is in you to become like him, to become like Christ. So does it change the way you think? Does it change the very intent? Does it burn in you like a fire? What does the life of God do for you? Because I'll be honest with you, you can look at this life right here, and there's a lot of things to do in this life. But we were with some guys from my work yesterday. My wife and I had a little barbecue and went and hung out with them and stuff. And you know, I sit at that table and I realized, man, this is it. For them, this is it. This is the maximum right here. You're having some fun in this life. You're shooting around and going to the range, doing whatever you do. Have some fun. And you get at the table and they talk about everything to do with this life. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, that's it. I told my wife, that's it. What you saw right there with them, that's it. That's the best they'll ever have, Keith, because they don't know God, bro. We know God. We don't only know God, we are of God. And when the Holy Ghost comes into you, it shows you from the beginning who you have always been. And the only time you struggle is prior to that, because you don't remember who you are. Because in death, because see, we're talking about life. Where's the marker? We're talking about life, right? Who is the life? Because he called it let's put it over here, the word of life. Who is John saying that is? It is Jesus. Doesn't mention the name Jesus here, but it is Jesus that he's talking about. Let's go back to verse 1, Nick. That which was from the beginning. So we're talking about Jesus Christ. And where is he from? He's from that beginning, right? And he says, which we have heard. You say, wait a minute. Did they not hear him when he walked with them in the earth? I don't know. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus tell the disciples over and over again? You're slow of hearing. Ye have little faith. Did they hear him? Do you know at the end of that 3.5 years, they're in a boat with him, and he begins to expound to them his purpose and why he came, and they were like, my word, you're the Christ. God has sent you. He says, now you believe? Now? After all this time, you believe me? And did they? Even after that, Julie, they still scattered when they come and got him. So I'm asking you point blank, did they really hear him? Did they have a revelation of Jesus Christ at that time? Or did it take something else happening to bring John and those apostles into this thing right here that he's expounding to us as the church. Now he's saying, we have heard from where? From where? Not when he walked with us. Sure, we heard the things he said, but you do too. How many times have you heard what we have said? Can you say, I've heard it? Michelle, you can say, I've heard Rick say it. I've heard Dan say it. I've heard Brian say it. I've heard everybody say it. What does that mean, though? Has it become life to you? Julie calls me, leaves a... I haven't called her back yet. But, oh, that's okay. Because I'm going to answer you right here, right now. I have to call you back. I'm answering you live and in person. You knew I was going to do that? Okay. Calls me and says, I never knew I had an angel. But we've said that 1,001 times, right? Why didn't you hear it? Right, so what's got to happen for that to take place? Does the Spirit of God have to perk them ears, the ears of the inner man, to let you hear a thing like that? Is it possible for you to go through your entire life and not know that you're actually an angelic being? Is that possible? Without the Spirit of God, you'd never know any of that. You'd never know that you were from the beginning in God. And what do you know? All this time you've thought that this life was your beginning. How many's ever thought that? This is the beginning of my life. I was born here half a century ago. It's a really long time when you say it like that. 50 years ago, I'm 50 years old. And I used to look forward to being 30. Now I'm like, please slow it down. Right? But you look back and you go, this was my beginning, Keith. But is that true? No, this was not my beginning. This was the beginning of Gary Ellis that a lot of you have come to know. This was my beginning in the physical flesh called Gary Ellis. And guess what? I have no crystal ball. I don't know when I'm going to die. But when I do die, Gary Ellis will be no more. But what will be? The Spirit of God in me. And more than that now. More than that now. Because in the Holy Ghost, there's more than one. Are you hearing me? There's more than one. In other words, I'm not alone anymore. You start out as a word, but as God increases word and word and word and word, what's he doing? Is he building that church? Is he building an eternal one? Is that what's coming together? A collective, a living being, a spiritual, eternal, living being full of the eyes of the Lord? What God's doing? When God makes you partaker in the Holy Ghost and he brings you into a resurrection, is he doing that just for you? Are all those that are part of the story of God? You mean that includes Abraham? Oh, yeah. Does that include David? You better believe it. So you mean when David was speaking to me early on in the beginning of these years, where the revelation of Jesus Christ was coming, and he told me the Lord has prepared you a table in the presence of your enemies? Was that in preparation for what God was going to reveal concerning these things of the beginning? Is that what God was doing? I had no idea at that time what all of that truly meant. Because you know where the real table is? The real table is there in that beginning. It's in heaven. Where Jesus himself said, you're going to sit down in the heaven of God, in the city of God, and you're going to dine with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're going to be there with you, Keith. You're not alone anymore. You're not just a word of God. You're the word of God, which includes all the words of God, bro. Is that the life of God? Is it God's purpose to give you his life? You say, absolutely it is. What is that? What does that mean? Because it does more than just change the way you think. It causes you to become a Christ, an anointed one, a son of God, with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you will not just say, now I've heard what Elder Dan has said or what Elder Rick has said. You will now say, I have heard what Jesus Christ has said. Because I've seen him, I've handled him, I've touched him, the very word of life. And it will be an experience of the Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, that reveals things to you that you have forgotten long ago in death. That's why resurrection is so important. And listen to what John says. Let's go back down. I believe it was to, we got through. The life was manifested. We've seen it and bear witness. Listen to what he says. And we show unto you that eternal life. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen someone that is selfish? What does a selfish person do? Do they keep things to themselves? Why do you think they do that? You know, this is funny. You may not believe this, but back when we were early preachers, young preachers, you know what we would do? This is shameful. I'm not walking in the shame of it, but it's a shameful thing. We wouldn't share any revelation or any quickening to another preacher. We'd keep it to ourselves, Keith. You know why? So I could preach it. We could preach it. And no one else could preach it before we did. We didn't want someone else to preach our revelation. Let me tell you, it ain't your revelation. None of it. It never was. You say, you know, you're preaching something that so-and-so just preached last week. Yep. That's what happens in the life of God. There's no selfishness in Christ. He's a giver. He's a giver of life. If I told you it is the will of God, Julie, for you to live, are you going to believe that? You should. Because it's the will of God for every one of you to live. And knowing what that means is very important. It does not mean to live unto yourself. It means actually to be willing to lay down your life and to follow Christ and let his life become yours. That's an awesome thing. Is that why Paul said, it is not I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me? He said, I don't live by my faith. I live my life now by the faith of the Son of God. It wasn't even his faith. It was the faith of Jesus Christ. That was his life, Keith. His life was God's life, personified in Jesus Christ, who was the one that appeared to him on his way to Damascus. You remember? With papers in hand. He was going after those of the way, the church, to kill and persecute them until Jesus showed up. Flipped his entire life around. Paul gave up everything, followed God, and he became an apostle of Jesus Christ. And that's why when he writes his letters, everything he does in the writing of his letters begins with from the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. In one form or another, he gives glory to God because he now knows my life is because of the life God the Father gave me through his Son, Christ Jesus. Man, I'm telling you right now, that is the gospel in simplicity. And that gospel is the most wonderful, exciting thing, and I thank God for it every day. And now he says, my intent here is to show you that eternal life. We're not going to keep this to ourselves. We're not going to be selfish with this. God was not selfish when he gave it to us. We're not going to be selfish to give it unto you. We're going to give it freely. Freely we have received, freely we're going to give. So when you hear every word that comes forth by these elders of God, what is that word? Is it not the word of life that they have seen and handled? And one place in here it talks about witness and bear witness. They have received witness in the Holy Ghost that these things are true. One of the first experiences that I had coming into this revelation was seeing the finger of God with fire write true and faithful witness in the heart of that angel. God was showing me then, this is what I'm going to cause this angel to become. Right now, there's some light and some darkness. Right now, there's some things not understood because it's a young angel. But by the time I get done, I'm going to write the word of life into this being. And that's what he's going to be. That's what he's going to become. And I'll just be honest with you, you can't not be what God has made you. That's why Paul said, I am what I am. You may judge me according to the flesh and say, but this is the one that persecuted the church. But after this revelation right here, you can't judge Paul after the flesh. You have to judge him by what God has done in the Holy Ghost. And I think that's one of the largest deterrents to us, is because we judge ourselves before the time and we count ourselves unworthy. And you know what we judge ourselves? We judge ourselves according to the life that is dead and not according to God's life. In other words, the word in you at times is what? Is it a word of condemnation? Is it a word of judgment and downtrodden? Does it cause your countenance to fall? Have you ever let that word permeate your mind and cause your thoughts to leave God and to reflect upon your weakness and your failures? Is that life? No, that's not life at all. That's death. That's the carnal mind. Is that what God's come to free you from? Is it the will of God that you not battle with those things, but overcome those things? And you know, you've battled them already. So if you're waiting, if you're waiting on the person that told me one time, I feel like I got to go through this. I feel like I got to experience these battles. The problem is that when you take that thought, that's what you're going to do all the time. You're going to battle and battle and battle, and the war never ends. I'm telling you, there's an end to the war. You don't have to war all the time. You can walk as a son of God in the life of God, in the thought of God, in the imagination of God, and you can create and be that creator of everything God has said to you. In other words, you can bring forth the thing God has promised because he's give you the life to do it. When you realize you're the word of life, you realize that you are the one that has power to speak those things that are not into existence and make them now. Bring them forth right now. Interesting. Which part? You're a creator, aren't you? And the Son of God a creator? Ah, what are you saying to me, Julie? The Son of God is. Yeah, the Son of God is a creator, but what are you saying? Okay. A baby Son of God? I just catching there, you know, it's like the Son of God is. You okay? All right, because I'm going to point something out. You see how we put it off in the third person? Like we put, well, the Son of God is over here. Dan's a Son of God. Well, why isn't the answer, I'm a Son of God? Immediately agree and accept and believe and walk in the truth that you are the Word of God. Don't put it outside yourself. Everything that's without the body is sin. Anything that's of sin is not of faith, and anything that's not of faith is sin. You can't walk in life if you're walking in sin. Isaiah said sin separates you from God. So you say, hold on. You mean that thought that's in my thought right now that says, you know, I'm not a son of God and I can't do these things you're talking about? You're telling me that sin? Yep. Because it's against faith. It opposes faith. Do you talk like that as a son of God? If you're a son of God, do you walk around here questioning who you are? You think God does that? You think Jesus, when he came even into the terrestrial plane, did he question who he was? When Satan visited him in the wilderness, what did he have? Who did he know he was? Did he know he was the Son of God? Even when Satan himself tried to make him question concerning what? Sonship? Did he? Did he falter? Did he question? Did he hesitate? Or did he say, I'm the Son of God, man. I'm not going to worship you. You got nothing I want. What did he offer him in the third attempt? All the cities of the world? Did he offer him his life? Is that what he offered him? What did Jesus do to that offer? He rejected it, bro. I don't want your life, Satan. Because in God, in my Father, he's already given me all things. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about King over every city, over every nation, over every tongue, over every people. He's King over it all. That's why when you're born of God into Christ, are you not made a partaker of that? Therefore, you now are kings. Is that why he is the King of Kings? Does that make you a king? Is the only thing we're waiting on here is for you to come into that revelation? You say, I'm a king? Well, maybe not in your consciousness at this time, but by prophecy you are. It's been decreed. It's been declared. You've been told that, but you didn't hear it, did you? You didn't hear it. What do you got to do to hear it? Got to have your spiritual ears opened. Little Adam's got to wake up. Adam's got to wake up. Because you know what he lost? The ability to walk with God every day. He lost that because he disobeyed him. He committed a sin that separated him from the life of God. And then he got put into a coat of skin, which was the very body of death. Imagine walking in a body of death all the time and having the thoughts that come with it. Woo! Man, you could call that a plague. You could call that a curse. Is that what God's got to break for you? Curses? Do you know why you're in a curse? I just gave you the answer. Because you sin, but what else? Because you're in a body of death. So am I telling you right here that you can walk in a body of life? Is there a difference? Well, just ask some of these elders. What is it to walk in a body of life? Does it come with power? Does it come with anointing? Oh, yes, it does. Is it full of wisdom and understanding? Does it become the true and faithful witness? Have you ever walked in a body of death? And I mean in the consciousness of it. Have you ever known the man of sin? Go read Revelation 13. Have you ever had visions and dreams that give life to an image and then call it God? And think you're actually serving God? And tell others, you've shared with others that life? Only to find out later that that was not the life of God at all. That was another life, another gospel. Which Paul said, it really isn't another gospel. It's just a perverted gospel, a corruptible word, a word that's not been understood, misconstrued by a wrong perception, and made to be something God did not intend. Because when we're young and we don't understand, we take the word of God and we receive that word of God. But because we add our own thought to it, our own dead thought that doesn't understand, and we try to self-interpret that word, we make it something that God didn't intend. We bring life to a thing and call it God, and what it really is, if I could just be very blunt with you, it's an abomination. So is that where your seven abominations come? Is that how the man of sin, this man of sin down here, is he not full of seven abominations? Where is the man of God? He's full of the seven spirits of God. In other words, he's full of what? He's full of the God life. Where this man is full of what? He's full of death. What does God do to this man right here? Have you ever experienced pride? I mean a real revelation of pride and how wicked it is. That's the first one mentioned in Proverbs, isn't it? Pride, the pride of life. How obstinate, how arrogant it is. And you think, oh, that's just some guy out here, some woman out here that's just kind of arrogant. No, that's not what we're dealing with. What are we dealing with, Tim? We're dealing with the Word of God. So its pride is like that of the Pharisees, which were very proud and obstinate in what they believed to be God. And they would teach that to the people. But when Jesus showed up on the scene, he said, oh yeah, you got the outside going on, man. You got it. You look all white. You look like these glorious white sepulchers. You look like you're just going and blowing with God, but you're full of dead men's bones. You're full of death. One writer said you have a form of godliness, but what are you doing with it? Denying the power of God? And that brings me to this. Can you escape death in a thought of death? How many of you have tried to break the curse? How many? Are you guys tired of living in a curse? Are you tired of not understanding? Are you tired of trying to strive to understand? Do you know every time you make the attempt to understand what God is saying in the wrong mind, you only cycle in death. You perpetuate that cycle of death, and that's what keeps you in that curse. What do you got to have? You got to have a visitation of the Holy Ghost. Is that why Peter stood up on that day of Pentecost and he said, the Spirit of Jesus Christ has rose up in me? He promised me you would not leave my soul in death. Promised me that you would not leave me in hell. Peter was declaring that day, I've seen the Holy One. I've seen the Eternal One. That question mark is gone. Because I have partaken of the life of God. No more wrestling with who he was in Christ. That's not to say he didn't have some things further on when dealing with God wanting to send him to the Gentile, but God took care of that as well by bringing Paul on the scene. But I'm just talking about foundation here. You've got to come into a revelation that Jesus Christ is from the beginning and that this is a spiritual work of God. And all these abominations of death, what will God do to them? Will he teach you to overcome them all? Does he raise up? If Peter is raising up from here, from this death, and he's partaking of the Holy Ghost, and he is standing up, John is standing up out of death into a resurrection. Who in heaven is standing up with them? Why are they standing up? They're standing up because someone else in heaven is standing up. And who was that? Who? Michael, the angel of God. Is that what it said in Hebrew? Not Hebrews, Daniel? Verse 12? Michael's going to stand up. And it's not just Michael. Go over there real quick, Nick, and read it. It's not just Michael standing up. Who else is going to rise? You guys don't remember? Donna remembers? What'd she say? All the angels? You good? Daniel 12, verse 1. Verse 1, bro. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince would stand for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that same time. And at that time, thy people, notice, thy people, is this a prophecy to Daniel that you are not going to be alone? God's going to save everything in you, Daniel. At the standing up of Michael, everything in you, that's the will of God. He wants to save it all. Everything in that world. Remember Wednesday night when we talked about the world that lieth in wickedness? Is it the will of God that everything in that world be saved? When I say saved, you say no? Is there some in there you don't want to be saved? You just want to throw them away? Some things are evil. But who's got more power, guys? God or the devil? And what's it mean to be evil? Is God just going to destroy it, Julie? Or can God change a thing? What about Saul? Was he evil? He was murdering the church. Did God save him, regenerate him? When he changed his spirit from that of a murderer to that of an apostle, was he a murderer anymore? Did he go about murdering, or did he go about as the very word of life, giving the life of God even to the Gentiles, Keith? Going into death, going into hell, going into the abyss, going into darkness, and saving whosoever would believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Because here's the catch. When the apostle of God preaches his word, you realize that that's an invitation to life. If I preach life to you, if I share my witness, if I share my testimony, what's it intended to do? It's to bring you into that life, to make you a partaker. See, you guys didn't know that you're part of us. Every one of you, as spiritual beings, you're part of us. Is that why Dan preaches to you guys? Does he want you to be partaker? Is he baptizing you into his body? And what happens when you're baptized into his body? Do you come into life? Is that where God can teach you and disciple you and instruct you, even reprove you? Because if you think you're being reproved in the carnal mind, you're wrong. The carnal mind can't be reproved. Too full of death. What's God got to do for you? He's got to make you a disciple. That doesn't mean the presence of the carnal mind's not there, that you still don't have enemies. But God begins to take that word in you, and he teaches that word. And as that word follows, he instructs that word. And as long as that word is following the anointing, what does that anointing do? John said it in 1 John 2. It'll bring you into all truth. You guys think I'm in all truth yet? Or is there still truth to know? Is there still truth to be revealed? Is God still teaching me by his anointing? Absolutely. Absolutely. I do not know everything in God yet. I don't. But you know what I learned? Not to fret about those things. Because if there's something I do not know, even those things that may yet still be of weakness, I don't fret about those things either. Why? Because God has proven himself faithful. Anything that needs to be addressed, anything that needs to be reproved, anything God needs to say to me, he's faithful to say it. He's going to say it. Like the thought when I said, well, I'm not a pastor like Dan and Brian. Boom, word of the Lord visits that immediately. That's a lie. That is a lie. That's not of God. Guess what happened to that thought? Completely changed, Keith. In a moment, changed. That's amazing to see that work. All right, and he says, so thy people, everyone that shall be found written in the book, is this why John's telling you we show to you these eternal things? What is he showing you? Things that are being written in the book? I've seen John writing in that book. I've seen him writing among the stars. I've seen him ordaining these things and bringing them into being. To begin seeing angels brought forth. and realizing the power of God in us is what's causing that to take place. Keep going. One more, I think one more verse. And many of them, who's he talking about? Thy people, Daniel. These are the people that are in you, Daniel. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall what? Shall awake. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's your answer, Julie. Does God save everything? I can tell you this, he raises everything up. And some of it's going to go to shame and everlasting contempt. But God has purpose there too. Because I'll just tell you this. Even if for a time something goes into death and hell, who's to say God cannot come back around and visit that at a later time when it has humbled itself and is ready to hear the word of life? In other words, if you get tired of being where you're at, could you get a visitation today and say, I need God, and cry out to God like those souls under the altar and say, I need help, and is God willing to help you? There's not an elder here that would not be willing in the compassion of Christ to speak a word of life to you. Were we done over in 1 John there? Sorry to keep you jumping around there. Verse 3, time is it? How long have I been up here? That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Is that why we don't, you notice we don't just get up here and preach little sermons to you guys? Not say anything bad about the ones that do. And sometimes you go down the road and you see this church sign and you say, next week, we're going to be preaching on faith in God. We don't do that. We don't do it that way. Sometimes we don't know what we're going to say till the moment we get up here. What are we trusting in? The life of God, the word of life. It's actually very simple to just walk in faith, because when that's who you are, that's what you are, and that's what you do. You walk in faith. You live in faith. You are faith. Someone says, well, I need to pray about the will of God. When you're the word of life, you are the will of God. You don't have to pray about whether or not it's God's will to save someone. You're going to speak the word of life because that's who and what you are. It's part of the very being of God that you now are. You can't be anything but what you are in God. No reason to apologize for it either. We've heard it, we've seen it, we've declared it. And what is the reason? That you also may have fellowship with us. Is that the fellowship Dan was talking about a few weeks back? They continue steadfastly in fellowship. What kind of fellowship are we talking about? We're talking heavenly? Do you guys believe you could have heavenly fellowship with us? Well, when we're sitting at a table and we're talking about the word of life, that's exactly what we're breaking bread. We're breaking the bread of Christ. We're talking about God and his son, Jesus Christ, and all that comes with it, which would be the entire creation of God. Might be one time David comes up. Might be another time Abraham comes up. Might be a time Paul visits us. Might be a time John is in that conversation. You could talk to many, because in the fellowship of Christ, you're partaking of all that is in Christ. And what a wonderful conversation it is. And listen to this. Not only that you have fellowship, and truly he says our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Keep going, please. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. I was thinking this week, when we were growing up in church, one of my favorite scriptures was, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I did not know then. You know what I thought the joy of the Lord was? Becoming a preacher. and eventually, you know, being a prophet or an apostle or just having a ministry. That was going to be the thing that made me happier than anything. God had to clean up some things there, though, didn't he, Tim? What would the joy of the Lord truly be? When he spoke to Peter and said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what he was telling Peter there? At least part of what he was telling? I'm going to give you children. I'm going to give you a family. I'm going to give you a kingdom. I'm going to build this church and it's going to be an eternal church built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, Peter. You're going to be a partaker with me. You're going to be that rock. You're going to be that Christ. You're going to be that word of life. And like Moses told me recently, that's what and who you are. When you speak this word to everyone that believes your word, it's going to be a word of life. What can that word do? Can it break curses? Can it deliver you from torment? Can it deliver you from fear? Can it take a thing of pride in you and humble that? Can it even crush it? Oh, yeah, man. Which way you want to go? You want to fall on the rock and be broken, or do you want the rock to fall on you? I'll be honest with you. I've had both. I've had to be humbled, and I've also humbled myself. And I'll just be honest with you. Those things of having to be humbled, whoo, that's not the best way to go. It's a lot easier to just submit yourself to the anointing and just let God be God. And you know, you realize what the war is, right? And I'm almost done. Doesn't have to be long today. You realize what the war is, right? This is the war right here. I'll put or right here. Or God's life. When you're fighting and warring and struggling and contending and striving, what are you trying to do? You trying to save your life? Is that what you're trying to do? You trying to preserve your own life, Deb? Well, I'm not asking specifically to you personally, but I'm saying as a general statement, is that what we're trying to do is save our life? He that saves his own life loses what? Loses his soul. You gain the whole world, but you lose your soul. What kind of life is there here? Is there a life here in this man of sin? Is there? Yes, there is. There is a life here. What kind of life is it? It's a corruptible life, D. It's a life of death. You ever had dreams where you descended into great darkness and you're sitting in this congregation and they're all dead? And the preacher is preaching up a storm and he's preaching the word of God. But they're all dead. He's dead. And you realize I'm in the congregation of the dead. Was there life there? When I stepped out of that boat, in the apostle I've been talking about, one of them, when I stepped out of that boat onto those waters, what did I see under those waters? Were they alive? There was life there. They were even whispering to me, Keith. They had to be alive. But it wasn't the life of God, bro. Was I seeing everything in that world? Was Peter seeing everything in that world that had been reserved over from the flood? Was everything that was imprisoned in those waters, was it a form of life but without God, separated from God? And guess what they want? Guess what they want? There's a lot of lust and desires there, but guess what they want? They want out. Have you ever had that thought? You're like, I want out. I want out of these thoughts. I want out of this captivity, out of this bondage. I don't want to be what I am anymore. You ever had that thought? You ever shout that prayer up to God and say, I don't want to be here? They want it out. But guess what? You got to have an apostle. You got to have an apostle with the mind of an angel to get them out. That apostle's got to be willing by love and compassion to go into those waters and speak a word of life. Once believed, that can bring them out. That's the only way they get out. The only way we get out of death, the only way we get out of these curses is for an apostle of God to sit down with you and say, how long do you want to stay in this curse? Do you want to continue in this curse? Or do you want to get another shot here and remake that decision and choose life? Which one? Because our word's going to be life or it's going to be death. And you may not understand that right now, and that's okay. But all I'm simply saying is our word will always be the word of life. But when you don't believe it as such and you don't receive it as such, what is it to you? It's death. You know why? Because sometimes we don't get out because we don't want to get out. And why would that be? Because you love your life. You love it as it is right now. I know it's awful strong preaching for a Sunday morning. And it's Father's Day. Why ain't I preaching a Father's Day message? I am. The Father has declared him. So when you come to the end of this and you're willing to humble yourself and let God's life become yours and lay down that life, that world that you have made, that world that you've given image to, that whole life personified, which is really just a man of sin full of abominations, the abomination that sitteth in the temple calling himself God, who tried to run away one time when I came after him, tried to run into the shadows. I even saw his tail. But God knows all things. And in one moment, one finally, first time, truly. And you say, you know what? I don't want this anymore. I want, help me. I want God. What's God do for you? He imparts his life to you. And you know what? You know what changes from that day forward? Your desire is governed. Your desire is perpetrated by the word of life. Everything in you burns to know more about God in truth. And from that day forth, you are becoming everything John said here. It's bringing you into a place where you have witness and you see here for the first time these heavenly things that have been hidden from you since the beginning. And Michael begins to stand up, and everything begins to change. The word of life. This is who we are, guys. This is what we preach to you. This is what we teach to you. This is what we declare to you. And we do it that you may have fellowship with us and be made partakers in that life, and that your joy may be full. Because I'll tell you, you already know what I'm about to say. There is no joy in that condemnation. There is none. In the mind of Satan, there is no joy. And I'm telling you, by the Holy Ghost, we can impart the word of life that brings you into joy. And it'll change you. It'll change who you really are back to what you've always been and more. Amen? All right. God bless you guys. We love you.